This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, hey, To The Point listeners. It's the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast, Cristiano, along with, he's back. I mean, he's not Phoenix, but he's back on the podcast this week. My co-host, Mr. Tall, Paul Redman. My friend, I missed you.
You know what? I missed you too, but I got a little piece because I got to listen to two podcasts with just you, and I thought you did a really good job with Brian Cohen. And then Chris's confessional, I think there's some demand for that. I thought you did a really good job. I know your story, right? I like to think I'm a little part of it, but every time I listen to it, there's little pieces I pick up. So, man, it was a good job.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
it. I hope that the downloads are close in comparison to my solo episode, but not nearly as good. So
let's just go ahead and assume that they're significantly larger. Okay.
That's fair.
Unlike your height in comparison to mine.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I appreciate you saying that. It was fun to do that. I didn't really know how it would be received, but I've never done anything like that before. And I thought, you know what? I've had a lot of years of talking with really phenomenal contractors. And if I could have went back and shared some of those, I thought maybe I can share some bits and pieces of it. I had some of those folks that I name dropped in the beginning that I learned from, reach out to me. So that was pretty cool. And it just so happens that one of those guys sitting in the studio with me today, and I'm going to go ahead and get my introduction in. I've got Kevin Howard from Howard Air, president of Howard Air, sitting literally right across from me today. And we were just over at his facility, which is not too far down the road, like 3-4 miles, if that, somewhere around there. But Kevin, welcome into the studio and welcome to The Point.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, should we have had Julian here with you?
No. No. She runs enough of the company. I got to try to keep my title as president.
Yeah. We know we have similar sentiments around here at Rhino.
Yeah.
So, now you guys have known each other for what, 15 so years or?
Yeah, so actually what's interesting about the story we were talking about is it's always good because we get to connect and kind of reminisce. And Kevin, actually, when we were early in this business, I'm talking like early beginning, we had a relationship with Trane that developed in Arizona. And Kevin is actually the one that made that introduction and made that whole thing happen.
Nice.
We were just talking about that. So
seems like yesterday. It's amazing how 15 years goes.
It's been quite a fun little ride. And so it's kind of cool for you to come in all these years later and see what we've built.
Mm-hmm. It's impressive.
And vice versa for me to go to this gorgeous building you have right off the I-17 that I just walked into that was like walking into a Tesla store. It was pretty. Dude, I'm not kidding you. Paul,
I cannot wait
to see it. So we have to make sure.
I saw pictures. I do want to challenge, though, producer Kyle, when you get a moment, I'd love for you to find the website that I'm assuming Chris built for Kevin 15 years ago.
Hey, it was state of the art back in the day.
That's right, baby.
Everybody was copying it.
Let's do a little before and after. But I was looking at the website in preparation for this, and maybe I'm just a little biased, but I feel like there were tiny little elements of our old design still kind of lingering around.
Absolutely.
So Kevin is an engineer by trade, okay? Like very, very, very methodical, you know, as you'll find out on this podcast about Kevin. But one, thank you. Thank you for helped give us a shot with another major manufacturer, which is very difficult to do as a agency partner. So
you guys earned it. Yeah. It was a great start. You guys really you helped us get, you know, that whole SEO world back then.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't like it is now, right?
Yeah, I mean, you introduced us to Mike Cross with Scottsdale Area and
a lot of great teams.
Yeah, that was a fun little ride.
Yeah.
So thank you. Seriously, I mean that very much. So what I want to do is, before we get into some of the questions and start talking through what you've built, we always tee up our guests to let the listeners know, assuming they have no idea who, you know, not everybody knows who Kevin Howard is and what you've built here and how phenomenal your company is here in the great state of Arizona and more so in Phoenix, Arizona. But I want to ask some questions of you to kind of give the listeners an idea of who is Kevin Howard aside from business. Okay. Are you game?
Sure.
Are you in? Okay, perfect. Sure. So have you ever heard of the game, Would You Rather?
Oh, wow. You're still doing this.
100% your daughters have.
Yeah, so, I remember. Okay. Sure. No, I haven't, but I'm game for anything.
Okay,
how's
perfect.
That?
These are easy. It's just a couple of little
never easy
icebreakers. No, these are easy. I understand who my guests are. I just will take it easy on Goodrich. Well,
Brian Cohen said he would rather never use toilet paper again than wear wrinkled clothing.
That one threw me for a loop.
Well, he's not an engineer.
So true. You threw me for a loop. Okay, so here we go. Would you rather go into the past and meet your ancestors, or go into the future and meet your great great grandchildren?
I'd rather go into the future.
Yeah, I think I would.
See what the kids.
I think I would too, and just to kind of see what
I already know.
Like.
You can do history. You see what the past is. Right?
Yeah, that's very cool.
We all know about our ancestors, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good grief! Pipe down, Paul. Would you rather meet George Washington or the current president?
We don't want to go down political.
What a dumb question, Paul. Even. That's a Paul question.
Oh, well, this will tell you where I'm at, right? I will love to see anybody but the current president.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah, so
fair
that's
enough.
George Washington.
Fair enough. I think, you could have went the route of like, how cool to meet our very first president.
Absolutely.
And that would have been the PC answer.
Yeah.
But you didn't go there.
No.
Nope.
I appreciate your candor, Kevin.
Yep.
Okay, last one. This one's easy. Would you rather be Batman or Spider-Man?
Batman.
Absolutely.
He's got some cool shit.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, man. Scaling buildings.
Yeah. Batman flies. Sorry.
He's got cool cars, all kinds of cool gadgets. Yep.
And if the two were to brawl, Batman would win. I mean, he did kill Superman.
That's true. Yeah. See, you picked the dominant player.
Yeah.
Well done. So. Okay, I only got two more easy questions. One, what was your first concert? Can you remember that far back, Kevin?
Huey Lewis and the News.
No shit.
Ooh, good one. I've seen them.
Yeah, they're all. That was phenomenal. Yeah. So we continue to date myself. Great.
That's a good group.
No,
right
listen.
There.
That just means we're gonna have a ton of knowledge because you have all these years of experience of kicking ass in the trade. So that's really.
What was yours, Chris?
My first concert is Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Shut
Michael
up.
Jackson. My first concert. I was six
Shut
years
up.
Old. Yep. I remember to this day, I sat in the nosebleeds with my mom, and I can see it like right now as I talk to you, what it looked like watching him. It was pretty amazing. It was
you were
when,
privileged.
Yeah, I was not privileged. Trust me.
I'm
going to
do some investigating
way
around that.
Actually, he was about the size of an ant, and the TVs weren't near as big.
Yeah.
But I was there.
Yeah.
Last one I'll ask is this. If you could have dinner with anyone, alive or dead, who would it be?
Yeah, the live dead thing, that makes it tough.
Yeah. If you could have dinner with anybody alive or dead, who's passed, who would it be?
My dad
or
and
pick
I
one
were,
of each.
Yeah, my dad and I were very, very close, because obviously we started the business together.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm sure he's aware of where things have gone. So I would actually say Elon Musk. And the reason being is he's getting into the HVAC industry.
Yeah.
And we see the disruptive technology he did with the automobile industry. Well, he's going to do the same with HVAC, and I could help him a lot.
That's great.
I
actually
help him
statement.
A lot. Yep.
Yep.
44 years, you learn a few things in HVAC.
Certainly.
Yeah. And he's mark my words, he's going to do the same thing in HVAC.
Yeah. Interesting. This is great. What a nice little start.
Yep. That's a whole segment of series we could do because people have touched on it, but I don't think anyone said it with that much confidence as a surety. Like, it's going to happen. It's an underserved market. There's so much pent up, expectations not being met by homeowners.
Yes.
And then who's going to win in the upside? Is it just Elon? Is it Elon plus the top 200 contractors in the country? Like, what does that look like?
We have these conversations often.
Every day.
Often.
Had one yesterday.
Often. So let's do this then. Okay, thank you. That actually is a great segue into, let's go ahead and let our listeners know, like you'd mentioned that you started a business with your dad, but let's go ahead and talk through that. What is, when did you get in? When did you start the business and kind of where is it at today? So kind of give us a little history lesson on Kevin Howard and Howard Air.
44, 44 years is hard to cover in a short amount of time, but
let's hit the key points along the way.
You know, dad started it. You know, our family started in 1977. And I remember the day because, I came home from school and my dad was tired of working for the company. Right. And, he's like, I can do this on my own. And my mom's like, well, that's great, but we got bills to pay. So anyway, long story short, he started into business dad was a service tech, great salesman. And, the first year, I mean, he hit the road hard. He was 44 years old when he started. Huh. So I'd come home from grade school and back in that day, you know, you went in the truck, right? He needed help. So, it wasn't like, hey, I want to play a video game, Dad. No, get your ass in the truck. It's time to run some calls, get up in the attic. You know, you were the gopher.
There were no video games then.
Yeah, there was. Atari. Wow.
Atari.
Tennis, you know. It was.
But you're 10 years old at this time?
You know, no, I was older. So, I was very young.
So he was 44, and that was that in
1977.
Right, got it. Yeah. Okay.
So, and you know, it was a two-car carport, you know, down in Arcadia District, and just one call after another, one account. He was determined. Dad was also an engineer. He was actually in the Air Force for 20 years and retired, and then went into air conditioning, and then obviously started the business. So the ironic thing, if you look back at HVAC back then, it wasn't a sexy, it was not perceived what it is today. I mean, framers, electricians, plumbers, trades was not a glorified industry, and Mom did not want me to do air conditioning. Mm-hmm. So I went to school for civil engineering. You need to do better than your father, right?
Ouch.
Yeah. You know, you need to, right? Wow. Air conditioning, back then, it provided a good living, but nothing like today.
Right.
So I went to school, you know, at college time, was doing the civil engineering thing. Got a summertime job, you know, behind a desk, slide rule, Commodore, 684 back then. DOS looking at you. I mean, did not appeal to me. Did not appeal to me whatsoever because I had already been exposed to clients and the challenges and just being out, right? And that's a beautiful thing with service. You're out amongst people every day. You're not in an office. So,
right.
So I the civil engineering thing and that's not. I want to do air conditioning. Well, what's fascinating is as you see with the traditionals that generation. Dad didn't want me to take the easy route. So he's like, well, you're not working for me.
Ooh.
Right. So I'm still living at home. Right. No, you know, you need to go to college. Right. Da, da, da. Right. It's, you know, want you to, you know, white collar worker. Right. Do better. Right.
Got it.
Which I appreciated.
Yeah.
It's like,
respect that.
Yeah. So I went to work for the competition.
Oh, man. Who was it?
'Cause I wanted to do air conditioning. So
who was it? Can you say who it was?
They're not around anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I went, and the thing back in the 80s, the economy wasn't good. So I worked for four different air conditioning companies to get my hours. I'd call, you got work today? No. Call the second one, you got work today? So it didn't matter if it was sheet metal layout, it was install, service, you know, I'd work. So I would get the hours and that night, you know, go to school. So I did that all summer long. And then Dad, after the summer, he says, well, I guess you really do want to work in air conditioning. And I thought, well, yeah, I told you that, Dad, right?
Yeah.
He says, okay, well, now you can work for me, right? He'd grown the company.
Now you can.
Now you can. And really what it was like, what? He says, he wanted to make sure that I picked a profession that I wanted to do, and I did. I went back and did mechanical engineering, layout, every aspect, because Dad only knew service and sales. So I brought the sheet metal part to the company, new construction to the company, and then we just kept, you know, moving forward.
When was that?
Like that was in the 80s.
In the 80s?
Yeah.
Okay. So which is interesting because you said he had an engineering background, right? But then he went into sales
aircraft.
And service.
He
was trying to move the business forward, and there's a lot of details that go into, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you brought that side of it in. Got it.
Yeah.
You literally kind of grew up like in this, mm-hmm. in this business, but you've had, so the passion was there. It didn't go away. You came back into it. And so now we're going into, like, I look at the, because you have the, you know, you have Howie today, That is the, you know, that that's the penguin. That's on Howie. Everything. I see it on all the wraps, all the building, like everywhere. I've seen the, you know, the penguin. But the penguin's name wasn't Howie in the beginning.
No. My dad was William R. Howard. So Chili Willy was the original name. If you go back, Chili Willy was a cartoon.
Cartoon, yeah.
So we started out with Chili Willy. It was great until we got a phone call. You can't use that name. Hey, can't use Chili Willy.
You made that kind of splash. So yep. I actually know the jingle for the cartoon.
Dude, oh, wow.
Please.
My name is Chili Willy. Yep. I'm frozen through.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
I've never heard it.
I used to watch it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So then you had, so the fact that you made a splash big enough that that production found you, like, says something. So
yeah, we had it on the trucks back in the day. And yeah, so it's all right. Fine. So then we renamed it to Howie, who, you know, can't copy that.
So, and it makes sense.
Yeah, good old Howie, the Emperor Penguin.
Emperor Penguin, I saw that.
Because through the years, obviously, everybody's piggybacked on, everybody's got a penguin.
Yeah.
But nobody has an Emperor Penguin.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Howie lives at Howard, right?
Howie lives at Howard.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Paul?
I was going to ask, so this is late 80s when you're getting involved and kind of getting things up and off the ground. Like, what did that journey look like through the 90s?
We were exploding. We were in Scottsdale Air Park, had a location, and then we bought a location on Cave Creek, and redid that, and you know, it was just, you know, consistent solid growth. And then, as we all know, the economy, we were actually looking for a new acreage to build our own facility, and then the economy tanked. In fact, it, you know, the journey in business is a lot of times is luck, because I was very close to closing a 5-acre parcel, and if I would have closed on that and went on, we would have been out of business, because we lost everything. The economy just was new construction. I mean, it was crazy. Never seen, you know, we've gone through 5 downturns, but this last one was just, so we had to table everything and luckily got through it. And then as soon as things started to pick up, that's when we purchased the, our 20,000 square foot facility there on I-17, but we bought location. I really wanted to build new. Remodels just suck. You know, we would have been done in half the time, but the location and obviously the cost was right. So we bared down, and the team members that I have were incredible, because what you saw today, Chris, 80% of our guys in-house did that.
Yeah,
framing,
so cool.
All that was done with our shop fabricators that we have in house and installers. So
yeah, but you engineered it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool. A team effort. You know, I mean, I got to give a shout out to Highway 85,
cool.
You know, guy, he, you know, 'cause those colors and stuff and my daughters, you know, that was the brutal part. Dad, no, we can't use tan. Dad, no. So they were, you know, they were influential. They're that young generation.
That's cool. So, did the whole thing in internal. And then, by the way, we will post a picture of it because it's absolutely gorgeous. You can't miss
impressive.
It. It's right on the I-17, which is one of the main thoroughfares through Phoenix. Like, everybody takes that road. I'm sure if you ask the broadband media folks, they'd give you some crazy number of traffic that goes by it. But it's been, you know what? We've actually had another guest on the show who's not too far on the other side of the road, Dave from Burns. Burns Pest Control.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're your neighbor too. We're just across
awesome.
On the other side of the interstate, just down the road.
Yeah.
So now drive by your shop, or not even shop, the showroom, design center, Tesla location, ultimate Tesla location every single day.
I didn't get to stop by today, but I was getting some messages from Chris, and he's like, man, this is not a showroom. I can't wait to tell you about this. For our listeners, I know we're skipping a little ahead, Chris. Let's talk about the physical location, what you've done with it, how you've designed it, the intent, and how it plays into how the business operates today.
Wow.
Man, that's like a 3-part question.
It is, yeah. So tell us what you saw today, Chris.
Yeah, so hang on one second before we get into that, and then I'll lead you in, Kevin. What I think is important for our listeners to understand is through the journey of where he's at today, that can you give the listeners an idea of where Howard area is today, whether that be whatever you're comfortable sharing, whether it be, you know, staff size of the company, whatever it is, so they can understand what kind of size business we're talking about to go into this.
Yeah, not a problem. So Howard Air, we do residential, commercial, light commercial. We've covered pretty much all the aspects of HVAC. You know, everyone says, hey, look, you got to get into plumbing, you got to get an electric. You see the movement of home services, and yep. I get it, yep. right? You know, as the owner, we never perfected HVAC, so I really didn't want to get into plumbing and electric, right? We saw so much opportunity still with HVAC. So we've just covered every base. It's like I was sharing with you earlier. We do wine rooms complete with the racking, the glass, right? You saw the
temperature.
Yep. Actually controlling the temperature and the humidity there as well. You saw the home garages that we do AC. Yep. So we've done every aspect fully with HVAC.
Yep.
Right. We have our own sheet metal fabrication facility. We do add-on replacements. We do high-end custom homes, right? Remodels. So, you know, and obviously service, maintenance. So that has kept us just perfecting those areas has kept us, you know, plenty busy. We consist around 100 employees, mm-hmm. you know, what's today, right? The labor yeah. force, right?
Yeah.
Friday we have 101, Monday it's, you know, 99. So,
right.
Yeah. The 10% of it, the revolving door, but, and then, you know, eventually, yes.
But they're hiring if you're listening and you're close.
Yes, absolutely. We're always hiring. Have been for 20 years, right? But, you know, eventually, yes, we're going to purchase a plumbing company and we'll move into that. But, you know, we're kind of stubborn that way until we get really proficient at running an HVAC company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll broaden our horizons. But, you know, duct cleaning, we have a healthy billing division now where we assess what people need to do to breathe, you know, clean, healthy air. So, anyway.
Yeah. In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. You know what's interesting is are you as an engineer, are you ever really going to be completely satisfied?
Right. Yeah.
Oh man, I get that question asked all the time. Yeah. Yes. I mean, but you know, think about it. Today's expectation of clients, I mean, it is an all time high.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mm-hmm. you, and I'm glad we're in that that we can provide that service.
Yeah. And by the way, I respect that very much. So I say that like understanding of your need to perfect it is the intention is I want to make sure I'm doing as best I possibly can for our customers and for our company and our employees.
Yeah. I mean, again, I just, when the day's all said and done and you hang up your hat, right. That, you know, we were able to advance the industry and we do that with, like I was sharing with you, you know, the install trucks, the service trucks, right. Your programs to where, when a service tech has to do its job that, you know, it's the challenge of the job and not all the tools that he doesn't have to perform it. Right. Yep. So, you know, it's like the fire department, look how they operate. That's the level we're trying to get to.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you have one right across the road.
Yep. We go across there. That's what I show when people are entering our academy, right? This is how things are to be kept at Howard Air. And the chief talks to them and, same with their trucks.
Clean.
Yeah. People always say, hey, who are you modeling after? Who's your mentor? Well, sad to say, it's not in the HVAC industry because it's a little outdated.
We're hearing that more and more, though.
Yep. You go to the fire department, right?
That's
go look at Apple. Profound. Go look at Tesla, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We were talking about that when I was over at the Design Center, just kind of some of his, what's the word I'm looking for? Inspiration for building out the design, you know, this design and showroom. And Tesla was one of them.
Absolutely.
So I'm a fan. It's meticulous, as you can imagine. It's meticulous. It's really well thought out. There's lots of little things that most might not notice unless you talk them through it. Mm-hmm. That are, everything is very intentional. Maybe that's correct. The right word I'm looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a reason behind the engineering, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love it.
And I'm stuck on this concept of the fire department. One, because we've been doing it a long time. I've never heard that, and it immediately made sense. And the question I was going to interrupt you with was, well, what does good look like? Well, when you say fire department, we know what that looks like.
Yep.
You have engaged employees who know where all the tools go, who know how to respond when there's a situation that comes up, who have a brotherhood, sisterhood, a respect for the job, some pride in the job. They're not afraid to go in a hot attic, right?
That's something. Even if it's on fire.
So there's just something there. I don't want to beat the topic to death here, and we can maybe come back to it on maybe a different episode. But I think that's really, really special and thoughtful. And now when I look at the pictures that Chris sent of your office, like, I see a fire station. So
That's the vision and that's the model. I mean, I even share with the technicians and the installers. I mean, stop and think about it. When the fire department shows up, it's an emergency. And stop and think when a service tech goes out to somebody's house with no cooling and it's their primary unit to the client, it's an emergency. And to be fumbling around for tools or a part, right? It's not efficient. Yeah. So, again, that's what we model and get the tech out there and get it done and move on.
Love it. So this is actually a good segue to go back to where you're headed, Paul.
Yeah.
I would say Phoenix is arguably the most competitive HVAC market in the United States of America. And I work in all of them with the exception of like Alaska. I can speak from experience. It is just incredibly competitive here. And you don't make it as long as you guys have made it and have been successful without constantly trying to, think ahead of what's next. And it's not just, thinking about it, it's actually doing things. And so you adopted, when you started to work with us, you pretty much adopted the digital SEO stuff pretty early on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like just one small little aspect of it, but it's, what did you do to keep Howard Air relevant, to kind of stay ahead of the competition? And I know that your legacy, because we talked about this, is trying to really elevate this industry. But what have you been doing, or what are things that you've done, or do you sit and say, okay, I'm gonna need to think through the next 3 years, and this is my actual plan, and it's by quarter. What do you continue to do to advance Howard Air in a market that's as competitive as Phoenix, Arizona?
Have you ever read the book Red Ocean, Blue Ocean?
I've not.
Yeah, read that book. So I don't do what the competition does. I don't follow the mainstream. The other thing, too, what helped me a lot, what I'm very blessed for and grateful, is the five downturns, right? When the economy tanks, who has money? The wealthy, Scottsdale PV, right? So we went through in that downturn and made sure that the services we provided was more than acceptable. We kept fine-tuning, even to this day. So the downturn made us, strong, right?
That's good.
We had to seek out, what clients are going to pay for your services when there's nothing going on. And again, the residential new construction market was a nice bridge too, because even, the people that are well off, they build homes. They're smart. They take advantage of a down economy.
Yeah, well, because then you basically get things for less. You can buy land for less. You buy a house for less. Because you've got cashy who with the cash wins, you can do those things. And they're great customers because the ticket prices.
Yeah. And fortunate enough, through my lifetime, I had great mentors. Mm-hmm. Barry Barnett was one of them. He was a game changer for me, right? Very, very successful HVAC owner in Seattle.
BDR.
Yep. So, I luckily at 35 was able to connect with him with one of his, with his classes, one of his seminars. And that, so again, you listen to successful people through your time that have made it. But really the bottom line is, I don't follow the trend, you know, this I was saying before, like everybody's going adding plumbing, everybody's doing home services. We're still going to perfect, you know, HVAC and do what we do best. You know, everything that HVAC has to offer. And, you know, for example, we have our own sheet metal facility now, fabrication. So the speed to install for us and the accuracy is we feel is a competitive advantage.
Sure.
You know, your system can go down and I can have the equipment, metal and everything made and be out tomorrow morning if need be.
Love it.
Yeah. So again, installers like it. So we, you know, our trucks and everything, we're just very fortunate to be very innovative. Not myself, but a lot of the managers are the same way. They share that mindset.
What about your trucks is different?
Paul, do you have a frog in your throat, bro?
I do.
What is going on with your voice?
I'm emotional because of the fireman. I don't know. I think it's allergies.
Is that what it is?
I can help you with your allergies.
There we go. Much better. I could talk forever about indoor air quality, but I'm not going to derail it.
Let me ask the vision.
I have a vision.
So how much time do you have?
What's up with your trucks? You just mentioned doing things different. Your trucks are different. What's up with
same thing? The reason to explain the fire department before, because in the 80s, tried out for the fire department. And I had
like volunteer fire or like legit?
No,
fire?
I was going to join the fire department and do AC because, you know, you're on 3 days, off four.
Right.
So I'll work the fire department and then on my off days, right? Do AC.
You know, sure.
Because again, there wasn't a lot of work, right?
Yeah.
But so I got an insight very young of how the Phoenix Fire Department operates, and it is a well-run machine. So again, when you see their trucks, that's where the light bulbs went off. So then, you know, we go through, and again, having our own fabrication shop, we're able to customize our own trucks. Just takes a little bit longer than we want to right now, but we eventually win.
But, have you had luck hiring any firefighters or converting, you know, part-time firefighters or full-time?
That's a secret.
They're across the road.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. They're.
Now I know why you bought this location. This is like multi-purpose.
Yeah.
I told you I can't get off of this. I just think it's so good.
Yes. They'll help and they're off. And then the armed forces is another one. I mean.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you talked about mentors, did you look at your dad as a mentor?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, 20 years in the Air Force, right?
Yes.
Very structured life.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, got to see a lot of that too.
I imagine you probably did.
Yep. That's why my floors look the way they do.
I'm sure they do.
From the Air Force.
All this is making sense. All this is making sense.
Yep.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, so then I want to set on Paul. Are you good? Did he answer your question? Because I don't want you to go down the IAQ path because that'll derail us too far.
I'm not going to go down that path. No, I'm good. And sorry for the derail.
That's okay. Yeah. So I do want to get into why this is a good segue is you know, how do you continue to stay competitive in a market such as Phoenix? What you've built is, I believe, a competitive advantage, but maybe not the way that you're thinking. Now that I've had a conversation with you, I got to go and see it, walk through it, not just from the outside, but the inside. When you go into the restroom at this facility, Paul, it's like going into Steak 44's restaurant. It is like amazing. But it's all those little details that from when you drive in, I keep bragging on the damn pavers, Kevin. When you drive in, you drive into pavers.
I hate maintenance.
So it turns out, yes, it looks great. It's different, but it's like it's actually lower cost. It's everything's been very thought through. But I'm saying from my experience, because I tried to go in and experience it as a consumer.
Right.
Drive in, I'm like, holy shit, you go off and everybody's got these shitty blacktop, parking lots. This is pavers, dude. Like you pull into a nice home and it has pavers as your driveway. It's like that. And this nice, beautiful building, new building, big windows, super clean. You walk in, super clean. I can't even explain it. And I hope everybody listening is like, I got to see this place. You're damn right. You got to see it. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So you build this, and even though it says showroom gigantic on this building, I keep saying, this is beyond a showroom. And you use it beyond a showroom. And it's actually not even the main purpose for the building, I find out. So that is something that you've done to continue to advance Howard Air and stay ahead of competition because I've been in a lot of showrooms in 13 years. That's not what this is. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about kind of your thought process with that and how that's been helping you since you've had it.
Yeah. How it started, right? I think that's the best way to start. And the research way back 8-9 years ago, we knew there was going to be a labor shortage in our industry, right? There was all kinds of data. In fact, Barry Barnett was on the top. If you look at the baby boomers retiring, which was doing the majority of your work, right? So that's when we decided, hey, we've got to create our own academy, right? 8 years ago. And then, okay, so what does that look like? A training room, right? And we've been all through the schools, RSI and Gateway and UTI and all of them. You see it, right? And so I was going to make this investment, to create a state-of-the-art showroom. But then I was thinking, well, it's boring. Look at what the millennials are after. They don't want to sit in a classroom, and they want hands-on. So that's what we actually created. Everything's hands-on. And that showroom, first and foremost, is training.
Yeah.
The Wi-Fi wall, if you go there at 5 in the morning, 6, there's training classes. The rooftop, the condensing units, the mini splits, the zoning, right? And it's real world. You bring in a ladder and a tool belt, and it's just like being at a client's house.
No VR.
Yeah.
No VR.
No VR. No, we won't go down that road.
I know.
I don't want.
Well, we have our opinion, so don't worry.
I don't want that company calling me.
No, I understand.
Yeah. So really, that's what it is. And really, everyone's like, oh, you don't need a showroom to sell. Absolutely right. You don't. Yeah. You can sell millions and millions of dollars without a showroom. But I wasn't going to, it was double purpose. So it's training first, and it's been a very nice bonus.
Yeah.
For clients, designers to come in. And it makes it much easier for the end user to see a system operate.
Yep.
And especially, geez, look what these systems are costing today.
Mm. Yeah.
It's skyrocketing.
It's a significant investment into your comfort. So when I walk in, Paul, I open the door. I mean, it's obviously pristine in there. And Kevin's actually working with someone who had walked in. So they're getting walk-in traffic from this, which I believe is probably picking back up, but yes. I mean, I have to wait on him. I don't wait. No, it's not a big deal. Give me time to kind of walk around. But what's interesting is when you walk in, he has the Wi-Fi wall. He has schematics laid out, these big, huge blown up schematics of the actual building itself and the ductwork and like all these different things, which is great. There's like three or four garage bays?
Three
garage bays that have different, ductwork in them, different. They have the condensing units on top. It's an actual roof that's built. So these guys are working on this. So like talk about some of the little details that I think are important like that creates real-time experience.
Yeah. So, just again, you're talking about a competitive advantage. If we bring in a technician in for an interview, we've all been down this road. I'm the greatest. I can fix things from a chicken coop. To a space shuttle, right?
Yep.
Great. So
you need me.
Travis is our full-time instructor, and a lot of times he'll conduct the interview, so he can throw trouble codes into the system. It's like, great, hey, you got your tool bag, come in and fix this. And it has saved us a lot of grief.
Yeah.
Finding the right guy.
The one last week, it's a Carrier Greenspeed, and it's like, here, can you tell us what's wrong? And I don't know, we went off and did something. We came back. Panels there all tore apart and he's gone. So it's like he's gone. He's like he's never even seen that unit.
Oh, so he just bailed.
He bailed. We call him up it's like but
something happened?
I don't know. I don't know. We didn't mean to humiliate him or anything, but but it saved us grief,
Yeah, I mean he was gonna go out, you were gonna hire him and he was gonna go out to somebody's house and do the same thing and say, maybe he flips it, but man, that's rough.
Yeah. So it's been very interesting so that's part of the hiring process. But again, too, here's the thing is we don't care as long as they have the aptitude and the will to learn. Right. And that's been our big success with our labor pool.
That's good.
With the academy, from all aspects, is the 52 weeks of training. It's been very beneficial.
Got it. Yeah. So I think what's nice about it is you don't never get a second chance to make a first impression. You ever heard that before?
Yes.
When you walk in this, the perception is this place is put together. This is high end. This is cool. If you're younger, it's cool. Like, you could not be interested in, and maybe I am, maybe it's just me because I am interested genuinely. Like, but when I walked in, you can tell while I'm talking to you, Paul, like how blown away I was by it. It's that cool. I don't know if you realize, maybe you do. It's that cool. I was like, damn, if my daughter walked in here, would she think this place is cool? She would until she figured it out.
Yeah.
Like what the hell it was and pushed, like would look at, then she'd be over it. But the fact that she would walk in and think it's cool, it says something, you know, and because you do have to start to appeal to
the younger generation.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. That was the plan.
And so that's what, I mean, that's his work. You kind of leaned on the Tesla piece of it too. And even the garage bays that you walk into, it's not like there's cabinetry in there. It shows a cool zoning system on how zone systems work. And by the way, I'm a firm believer. Once you have a zone system in your house, you will never not have a zone system in your house.
Yep.
I love being able to control that. We'll be having a zone system in our Rhino office.
Integrated zoning. Yep. Yeah. We can do that for you, by the way.
I'm sure you can. Sweet. Sweet. We'll just
do
barter.
A little barter.
Do a little barter.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
But you know, who knows how long that'll take with tenant improvements. Here,
never give up.
So let's go ahead and talk about this. Something I thought was neat from the sales perspective when someone walked in is I didn't even know the units were running when I walked in, right? Which is a selling feature. Like Paul's got, what do you have outside your house? You've got
I have 26 here, but they're unbelievably quiet. Variable capacity outdoor units that really like no one knows about until they come over.
And you have four of them. Was there four on display in there? I can't remember off the top of my head, but you had some.
Over 40 systems in there, but the four on the ground, then there's another four around the side. So there's a total of nine.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you had no idea.
Again, noise every client has a different concern.
Yeah.
But noise it's definitely in like the top five. They don't want to be turning up the volume on their TV when the AC turns on.
Well, what is that then? Like you said, it's a top five. What would be above that? Obviously that it works is like it cools.
Well, obviously with this pandemic that we went through, the indoor air quality is off the charts. Yep. People are so tired of allergies and dust.
I have it in my house. Yep.
Yep.
I think there's a big opportunity around the hardware side of things. And let me break that down a little bit. So Chris and I have had the opportunity to work with manufacturers, OEMs, distributors for our entire career. And there's been this gradual shift toward not talking so much about hardware and talking more about benefits and moving toward like how things feel and how it makes you feel. But when you think about Elon Musk, like Tesla's a hardware game first, right? It's a beautiful machine that kids love, and it's also electric and all these other sort of benefits. Is there an opportunity to get, as a marketer, more focused around, look, this is the unit, this back to that big giant train condenser that like has been part of their marketing forever. Is there an opportunity to just focus more on the hardware? Like,
absolutely.
Is that an opportunity to be more transparent? Like, this is it. This is what it does.
No, you're exactly right. And it kind of gets back to, perfecting the HVAC. And if you think about all the Wi-Fi and cameras and door locks and everything, right? No, most HVAC contractors don't want to touch that. But people are wanting that. You know, they want to be connected to their control on the wall. They want to know the particulate count in their house, right?
Yeah.
Which we monitor and can show them, right? You know, it's a different request from clients.
You know, that's counterintuitive,
right? They want to sleep. I mean, do I have to hear the unit at all? And again, you can either provide that level of engineering or you can't. But you're absolutely right. It is a lot. More requirements for, hardware and being connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got a Tesla and your equipment. Hey, what can we do? Because I'm looking at this thing every day.
Yeah.
Right? So, we give out some options.
By the way, Tesla, I wish the tire wear wasn't so damn bad.
Keep your foot off the pedal.
You are a race car driver, dude. It's, like no one points that out that you've been to five sets of tires. Yeah.
It's my wife's car. I drive a truck, okay?
Yeah, you drove on Indy, and we share that same. Yeah, I didn't get to actually race in Indy, but been on the track.
So, but I'm good with tire. Thank you. I know how to take care of my tires. Yeah.
But, yeah, just replace them when they're bald.
Yeah, we're doing it too much.
5,000 miles.
Oh yeah. My gosh, it's insane. However, I agree with you, Paul. The technology, I mean, it's basically a computer on wheels is what that thing is, and it's very cool, right? It's a neat car, and that's what it, that is, like, it's what we love about it. At the same time, it's a 18, so it's advanced, so some things have changed in that car that have made it better, but the car is cool.
Yeah.
And I feel like the time is really good, and it's been really good, say, even, like, through last year, that it is this nice segue to how do you make AC cool, no pun intended.
Nice.
You know, how do you kind of make this thing sexy? And because if I have to hear any more, like, oh, the HVAC industry's, you know, not sexy, it kind of became sexy last year when you kept your job and we're essential business. And I've said this 100 times because I believe in it so much, but I think it's created the opportunity to let youth know you can make a significant living. It is okay to be in it. Unlike kind of when you were almost shamed away from being in the trades, whereas today it's different. And so we try to do whatever we can to glorify what it really is, an essential business. You don't want to be in Phoenix, Arizona at 115 with no air conditioning and your toilet's backed up. It's going to be a bad day in your house. That's essential business. So, but what's been interesting too is we've had plenty of conversations around just what's happening in the industry as a whole. And with, you know, M&A has been so huge. We've had a couple of guests on here that have been through that. We've had plenty of customers that have sold. But the reason is that there's a labor piece to this that goes,
correct,
that you have got, no matter what you're doing to give yourself a competitive advantage, you got this beautiful showroom, whatever it is, you got to have the people to run it. And you got to have the people to do the work that comes from it. And so, and what, listen, the labor thing has never been, when you and I talked, when we first met, it's the same shit, just
we've
different.
We've never, ever had it. We never said, wow, well, you know, December was like, wow, we, you know, that's when actually you only work a 40-hour week, you know, December, January, and then like this last winter, we didn't have one. So, you know, things, right. And that's how warped we are in the HVAC industry, is that a 40-hour work week is slow, you know,
right.
you're averaging, you know, considerably more than that. So, yeah, for 44 years, I can tell you, it's never like we had too much labor. It's
right.
It's always, there's always been a labor shortage. Now, obviously, magnified. But that, it's again why we created the Howard Air Academy. We're getting the younger generation in excited, right? And as an academy, we're getting year after year better and better. And the speed to knowledge, we've cut in half. You know, in the old days, I mean, you had to take a year or so to, now, you know, 6 months, we can get them to a level one, you know, apprenticeship installer. Same with attack maintenance.
Do you take people who have zero?
Absolutely.
Like, who just has like the will, but they don't have the skill? Got it.
Yeah, we have a process that we do, you know, an assessment. Obviously, you got to be mechanically inclined.
Understand. Yep, understand.
But we've had bankers, for
Paul's
God's
gone.
Sakes. Yeah, we've had banker. I did not want to work in a bank.
Wow.
And this is one that blew my mind to my dying day. Worked in a bank, right? Guy was pale white. You know, he was in the construction industry with his dad in the early days, right? And just couldn't stand the bank. Much like myself being in an office, you know, structural engineering, right? Civil engineering, just you know. And then we were like, this guy's not going to make the summer. And, he loved it, was happy, and obviously went backwards to go forwards financially. But so it's just getting the person that wants to. But the trades, I mean, whoever thought that the trades would outdo a dental hygienist, right?
Yep. Right.
Or an IT. I mean, it is, and really by rights, the stress of what a service technician does, what they're getting paid, they've earned it. I ran service for 20 years. I mean, it's not for the weak.
Yeah. I had a conversation. I was in Memphis yesterday for a meeting, and I had a conversation around this with we'll say employee appreciation. That's not the right word. Like, I'm not sure what the right term is, but I'll tell you the issue is people because labor having always been an issue and trying to keep your technicians, if you ran a 24-hour business, was it worth it to run that technician on a 3 a.m. call for some guy who's not going to be a lifelong customer, and then him lose his happiness or her lose her happiness of wanting to work? Is there do you believe in that methodology of like, do you really run these guys 24? Like,
no.
Okay.
No. That was my era. Run them till you, no, that you got to advance with the times. And again, one of the things we're priding ourselves with is even in the dead of summer to be able to enjoy your family.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So technicians, we have what we call, and we did this, you know, quite some time ago as a flex shift. Right. So we have guys that will only work the weekends. You have guys that will only work in you know, from 3 to midnight.
So it's regimented.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from? I like
Julie. Came from Julie. Yeah.
Shout out, Julie.
Yeah. Yeah. Or my oldest, Kaylee. You know, so, but yeah, it's, and you think about it, where we adapted it from actually was Angie's List.
Got
That's
it.
Where that idea, because they have a very unique and modern workforce, and yeah, they all hours of the day, but people come in at noon and it's successful. So we've trying to build on that even more, but yeah, it's does a tech have to work 50-60 hours and peak at times because somebody calls out? And this pandemic has put a whole new, you know, holy wow. Once that is back to normal, then we'll be able to get back to our normal shifts.
Yep. I get that. Were you going to say, Paul, anything?
You talked about 52 weeks of training with the Howard Air Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Break down the academy, like the structure, the curriculum. How do you do it? How do you facilitate it?
Good grief.
You want my playbook, in other words.
Good grief.
You don't have to share that. Yeah, so
it's fine. It's not a problem. So Travis actually sets that up. So like for installers, you know,
so Travis runs the Howard Air Academy.
He runs yes. And he actually trains at the Heat Pump Council as well.
Got it.
So he's a phenomenal instructor. So what occurs is, you know, say for example, Nate, you know, we're getting our text, Nate, he will set up the structures and is it Saturday, right? Is it 3 PM? Is it 6 AM to, you know, we call it the power hour. So, yeah, through the whole 52 weeks, there's training, and you know, obviously holidays will put the brakes on, and you know, if there's some emergencies that, you know, things just get crazy, 122 degree day, right?
Yep.
But yeah, it's a consistent focus and a career path, and we have levels of technicians, you know, so each level has a different criteria, right, even down to tools. So you have level 1, level 2, level 3, all the way up to level 5 classifications of what class as an installer or a service tech. So,
So when they're done, they go hop in a truck with someone?
Yeah, well,
Are they doing that probably during the whole process too, right?
Yeah, they're still OJT. You know, they'll be with a senior tech in a van or an installer. And, but, you know, so it's class, field, you know, and then book. So it's pretty well-rounded. A lot of hands-on. In fact, they just finished up a series on aluminum brazing. So we've got a handful of guys that actually can go out and repair aluminum, leaks in aluminum. So
I legit think that in the very, very near future that this is how you're going to have to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you incubate your own.
You see the wave. A lot of your top premier HVAC contractors throughout the country, they're doing in-house schooling.
Yep.
And then it pertains to, you know, your clientele base, right? Even in Arizona, you've got guys that specialize in your light commercial or an industrial, right? So the school's great. You know, I'm grateful for the trades, and hopefully they'll get more impacted. They need to. But like for us is we're training them for what we do.
Yeah.
So.
And to do it the Howard Air way.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, we're about 53-54 minutes into this thing. So I want to say, first off, congrats.
Thank you.
And thanks for sharing. And thanks for coming over here. I know.
Yeah, no problem. It's fun.
And it's exciting, man. And I'm excited to see, you know, what's next for Kevin Howard, and what
retirement.
You have to do.
The girls take over.
There
third
you
gen.
Go, girls. There yeah. you go.
Get in my Tesla Roadster and
you're
get
gonna,
some tires bald. Go.
You're going to go get in your Can-Ams.
Yeah.
And go and go play, which, by the way, we got to go do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I got to see all the cool
trails,
all the cool shit that you've custom created, and then have you do it to mine, and just be like, "Oh, Kevin, show me how you do this," and then here you do it first, and then because I can't do any of that shit because you can weld, so you know all this stuff.
Yep.
But listen, I appreciate you coming on. Congratulations on all the success, and again, shout out to Julie.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are a great family, and you've been great for the industry. And
thank you.
And I know
that.
I've heard. I can remember one thing I was always super proud of early on when. We were partnered together and working, is the people would tell me, oh, you work with Kevin Howard. Oh, you work with Howard Air. Says a lot about how people view you in the industry. And so I would take that as a compliment. Yeah. So I was like grateful for those things and it certainly was helpful. So, I don't want to overlook the fact that you were a piece of the beginning part of this company and the growth because of your support. And I'm super grateful. I mean, in some ways we're all sitting here with, because of a little piece of Kevin's help.
I love to give back. Yeah. It's thank you. Very, very humbling. I appreciate it, but you know, hey, I'll leave you with Barry Barnett.
Closing comment.
Barry Barnett. He was a great mentor plus of others, but I remember he says, you know, and Barry was a traditional. He says, son, I'm going to tell you how to be successful. But before I do that, you have to promise me when you get there, you're going to do the same for others. You're going to give back. And I said, yep, you got it, no problem. So, I mean, that's why we're so heavily involved with Phoenix Children's Hospital. I help a lot of other smaller contractors because once you're there, right, it's easy to get somebody there. You know, we're trying to get to that $50 million. I've never been there. I mean, we'll get there, you know. But I love to give back. It's nice to see. I mean, and again, helped, but you had to do the hard work. I mean, and still, it's not over. I mean, it's never done.
No, so but it certainly was a nice little. You know, you got to have customers in order to have respected clients. You know, to kind of help herd mentality is real. We do players do it, and so but. Yeah, congratulations. Doing good is good business.
Yes,
and you're doing that. So I want to finish with this too, real quick. And thank you again for being on here. And we'll give you a chance just to say goodbye. And Paul, don't worry, I'll let you say goodbye to everybody. Okay,
I'll save my questions.
You get no more questions because we're already deep enough into it. But I want to go ahead and read it. Yeah, like we've been ending with reviews. This one was pretty cool. It says, "Buckle in for a powerhouse podcast, 5 stars." And this is from Al Seven. Powers. Oh my gosh, you know who this is?
Al Levy.
Okay.
Big fan.
So the name gave it away. He wrote, this is super cool. Chris and Paul always bring the intensity and passion to every episode. They never mail it in, and all the listeners are the better for it. Industry luminaries abound as guests and each shared a unique talent and knowledge that helps any contractor get better when they listen. Take a listen and you'll see what I mean. Al, thank you so much, man. We appreciate you. He's been on.
Yeah, he'll be back on one day.
I know he's wanting to come back on again too. So thank you. And again, you'll hear at the end of the podcast on how you can leave a review. It can be confusing if you don't know. So just listen, but we appreciate those reviews. I love reading those and giving shout outs to those who leave them. So again, Kevin, appreciate you having me on here.
Yeah, more than welcome. And hey, by the way, this is great. This is innovative. This is what HVAC industry needs. You know, this is great. I mean, you gotta realize podcast to me, it's what the heck is that? I mean, I'm used to radio.
We were at dinner and you're like, what?
Yeah.
What the hell?
That's not my world, you know?
Yeah, but I'm glad we made it happen.
No, I love, this is great, you know, because it is. It's getting the message out and holding a standard in the industry and that you guys are innovative. It's great to see this. So
thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And this actually allows you to kind of give at scale.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool. So thank you. Yep. Tall Paul, appreciate your questions. Do you have any closing comments for Kev?
I'm just going to invite you on again because I won't ask the questions now, but I want to talk about next time you're on, I want to talk about the future model of HVAC that involves your experience lab that you've created. And I want to talk about
product lab.
Experience lab.
I want to talk about product mix. So we'll get to that next time.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, again, thank you guys. And listeners, man, we're so grateful. Keep listening. Keep submitting your comments to us and the messages that we get and all that stuff. And obviously keep sharing and subscribe to the podcast and let all your peers know in the trades to subscribe as well because they pick up good shit just like this that Kevin shared with us. So until next time, we'll see you.
Yeah.
Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.